There's been some speculation that New Orleans Saints wide receiver Deonte Hardy may return to a more special teams-focused role in 2022. However, his special skill set and connection with Jameis Winston may make it so that New Orleans Saints don't even have a choice but to incorporate him in the offense. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always. Make it Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. You can find me every day over at USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. The New Orleans Saints get some bad news about a couple of players. Kawan Baker dealing with a 6-game suspension smoke Monday season, unfortunately prematurely coming to an end. We're going to break down all of that and get to your questions from earlier today's live show, including how the New Orleans Saints offensive line is looking going up against a fairly dominant defensive line so far. But before we get to that, I want to discuss Deonte Hardy quite a bit along with all of you, because Deonte Hardy has been a player that has been special since he showed up in New Orleans. He was an undrafted free agent, first team all pro his first year as a rookie, then ended up growing in terms of his utilization in the New Orleans Saints offense, became a big-time weapon for them last year, developed a really, really nice connection with Jameis Winston up until the 3 games that he had to miss at the end of the season due to a suspension. He was probably the Saints' most consistent wide receiver from beginning to end, while Marquez Callaway started to get a little bit better throughout the season, get a little bit more consistent throughout the season. So why is it that we're discussing oftentimes Deonte Hardy maybe going back to more of a special teams focus role in 2022 when we continuously see that the skill set and connection with Jameis Winston is something unique? And I think that some of this comes down to the fact that the New Orleans Saints have completely revitalized their wide receiver room, right? Like, let's not be naive here. New Orleans Saints last year had starting wide receivers, including Deonte Hardy, Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith. They even had to start, other wide receivers all throughout the season, including Kenny Stills and Kevin White and others. But now going into 2022, the landscape's a little bit different, right? You've got Michael Thomas, you've got Jarvis Landry, you've got Chris Olave, all of which have looked really, really good in camp so far. Granted, we haven't seen Michael Thomas in full team drills yet, but you can see the crispness of the routes. You can see how solid his movement is. You can see how much he's trusting his body, which is a huge step forward in anyone's injury recovery in terms of just the confidence in yourself and confidence that your body will hold up to do certain things. So the landscape of the wide receiver position is just massively different for the New Orleans Saints this year, as opposed to what it was last year, when effectively your highest drafted starter was Tre'Quan Smith from the very beginning of the season, or after he was available, right? He missed the first few games of the season. So now that you've gone from a majority undrafted room to solid first, or let's say top end talent at wide receiver, right? Michael Thomas wasn't a first rounder, but he very well should have been. Looking at the list of wide receivers drafted before him is comical back in 2016. And so all of that definitely plays a role into what Deonte Hardy's usage in 2022 will look like. But there is this other piece of it that we continuously see Deonte Hardy and Jameis Winston be on the same page. And at some point, does Jameis Winston kind of say, hey, that's my guy, get him out on the field with me, right? I mean, like, we saw on Tuesday the way that Jameis and Deonte communicate with one another pay off and turn into a touchdown. Not a blown coverage touchdown, not some miscommunication in the defense. Looking at the defense, seeing what they were being given, seeing what the safeties were being asked to do, and then taking advantage of that with Deonte Hardy's speed over the top and the arm of Jameis Winston. As Rod Walker observed during postgame pressers, there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there that are going to be able to meet Deonte Hardy's speed with his arm, right? But Jameis Winston can. And so when you have these guys go into the huddle and make an adjustment based upon what they're seeing from the defense, there's a specific connection, the communication, their ability to work together as a dynamic duo, it's hard to miss. I asked Deonte Hardy a little bit more about what he saw from that play, and he mentioned something really specific when he says, Jameis gave me an adjustment, right? Told me, you know, said to run it this way. If I ran it this way, then we'll connect deep. Here's what Deonte Hardy had to say, and you'll hear my follow-up question that goes right along with it.
I'm looking at the safeties, really. I know if the safety is, 9 out of 10, if the safety is in a certain position, then we know, like, one or two things, either they're going to drive or they're going to try to get out. And we knew, like, based off of the coverage, we knew what the safety was going to do. So that's when he came in the huddle. Like, if you run it this way, then the ball definitely comes to him. So.
And is that, if you run it this way, is that like an adjustment in terms of your pitch or your angle? Or
just my angle.
Your angle. Yeah.
So there you go, right? Both of them saw where the safety was lining up, what that must mean in terms of, hey, this safety is going to crash down. And then that specific detail. Jameis basically told me that if I ran it this way, we'll be able to connect deep. And making an adjustment based upon Deonte Hardy's angle so that he knew if you run it this way, you're going to blow past these guys. And that's exactly what happened. Hardy runs past Justin Evans. PJ Williams isn't able to come, you know, he crashes down, which was his assignment. Again, it's not a blown coverage situation. That was his assignment. That was his responsibility. That's exactly what he was supposed to do. And then he couldn't recover in time because Deonte Hardy is so freaking fast. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, Deonte Hardy is one of those guys where once he's past you, you're not going to, your closing speed isn't going to be enough to catch up with him. So that becomes a huge piece to this puzzle of what Deonte Hardy's role is going to be in 2022. And it could just be that, hey, he gets utilized in a way in which he's brought out on the field to take those shots, to be that deep threat, to be that guy, sort of like what Breshad Perryman was for Jameis during their time together in Tampa Bay. And then, you know, there were some injuries, and then Breshad Perryman moved up because of that next man up mentality. And then all of a sudden, he went off for 3 straight games of 100 plus receiving yards. So there's a real good opportunity here based upon the connection that Jameis and Deonte Hardy have with one another to probably actually see Hardy, even if he does start off having a heavier special teams role in 2022, get a little bit more involved in the offense. And that's, of course, important for Deonte Hardy and his team, right? His representations, because he's in the middle of a contract thing right now, right? He's in a contract year, basically, because he's on that RFA tender and he's looking for a long-term contract extension. So if he becomes a bigger part of the offense, that extension gets bigger along with his role. If he is sort of relegated a little bit more over to special teams, then his long-term contract will reflect that. So this is good news for the New Orleans Saints to have another weapon, but it's also good news for Deonte Hardy in that he could walk away with a bigger payday, whether it be from the New Orleans Saints or whether it be elsewhere. And so for the Saints, they have to sort of make that decision now. Are they going to put Deonte Hardy in a situation where he is more of a special teams, he has a greater special teams role, or is Deonte Hardy going to force their hand and be so effective with Jameis Winston and have such an additional dynamic that he gets to add to this offense that they can't help but involve him in the game plan? Coming up next, it looks like Smoke Monday season is unfortunately ending prematurely, and Kwon Baker will be unavailable for the first 6 games of the season. Safety and wide receiver, very, very deep positions, but how is that depth impacted with the potential loss of both of these players for any amount of time? We'll break all that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, which we get an opportunity to do thanks to our friends over at BetterHelp. Now listen, I am all about some therapy. Loves me some therapy. I swear by therapy. It's one of the reasons why I'm able to be here with you every day. But one of the things that has been awesome is that BetterHelp has made it so simple and so easy. It's already hard enough to admit when you need help. Sometimes it can be harder to find that help when you're willing to admit that you need it. I know that was something that I experienced big time. But with BetterHelp, you go to the website, you answer a couple of questions about yourself, and then they pair you up with somebody that's a good fit, a therapist that's a good fit. And then you can start booking sessions immediately. And you can book those sessions online on your laptop or even by your phone as well. They also understand that, hey, sometimes it takes more than once to get it right in terms of that fit with your therapist. And so they allow you to change with absolutely no charge, which is awesome. So I was able to get the help that I've been looking for with BetterHelp. And hopefully they can help you invest in yourself as well. So if you're interested, make sure that you go and check out betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's a special offer for our listeners. It's going to give you 10% off of your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's 10% off of your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/lockedon. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. We're going hard here on the show. We got live shows every day. We've got pre-recorded shows every evening. We are just staying busy here at Locked On Saints, and I'm so grateful to you for making us a part of your day. Let's continue on with today's episode with, unfortunately, some bad news. And this happens, right? This happens throughout camp. You have sometimes these injuries in camp and things like that. And sometimes you don't get the most positive news coming out of camp. And unfortunately, today was an example of that. Mike Garofalo from NFL Network tweeting out, Saints rookie safety Smoke Monday suffered what's believed to be a significant knee injury today, sources say. Monday is an undrafted free agent from Auburn, has drawn praise from teammate Tyrann Mathieu for his ability and study habits. The latter part is very true. And you see his physical ability out on the field. There were times, now that you started to get pads on, that Smoke Monday started to really sort of take, shape in terms of how it was that he was going to be able to impact this defense or impact the depth of this defense and potentially even contribute as a special teamer. He was getting a lot of reps at gunner, for instance, which is a very important role for the New Orleans Saints opposite JT Gray that they need to solve. You know, they didn't have that guy last year, and it showed in terms of their punt return usage. So this can, unfortunately, if it's a significant knee injury, probably mean the end of his season with the New Orleans Saints. But I do think that Smoke Monday, even if that's the case, will kind of be like some of these other guys that we've seen in the past, like a Chase Hansen, for instance, who doesn't get to play his rookie season as an undrafted free agent, but sticks around no matter what. They like this guy a lot. He's hard to not like when you see him out on the field and everything as well. So definitely something to keep in mind there. And so, look, there is absolutely a role for Smoke Monday if he can find it and once he can be healthy, but unfortunately doesn't look like that's going to be the case, at least for some portion of this season, fingers crossed. But if it's a significant knee injury, then that might mean for the entire season. Similarly, the New Orleans Saints will also be without 2021 seventh round selection Kawan Baker, wide receiver out of Southern Alabama, for 6 games due to a PED suspension. Now, I know what you're thinking. 6 games? That's what Deshaun Watson got. I know. We'll move on. So this is a standard suspension for first offenders when it comes to PED policy violations and things like that. This is the same suspension that David Onyemata, for instance, got last year. So for the first 6 games, Kwon Baker will be suspended. Now, this one, and really the Smoke Monday one, like they hurt because you want to root for these guys. But really, we're talking about a pair of depth players here that may have not been able to make the roster based upon how loaded each of those positions are ahead of them. You look at safety, you've got Marcus May, Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Evans, JT Gray, and I would probably throw, I mean, I guess you can throw Daniel Sorensen up there as guys that are on that roster and that are up there. Bryce Thompson, I would think I would put Bryce Thompson over Daniel Sorensen, but Daniel Sorensen's probably going to be a special teamer, probably going to make the roster, honestly. And so it would have been tough for Smoke Monday to push his way onto the 53-man roster in the first place. Kwon Baker, same thing when you have not only the top three ahead of you in terms of Michael Thomas and Chris Olave and Jarvis Landry, but you also have last year's players that got snaps last year as starters in Deonte Hardy and Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith and even Kevin White. And you know, you've got local guys like Kirk Merritt and Dejon Dixon. Like, there's so many players in that wide receiver room that this impacts your depth a little bit, but it's not a world-ending situation to be without these players for any amount of time. Now, you don't ever want to see anyone hurt. You don't ever want to see anyone suspended for something like this or anything like that. I'm not trying to excuse those, but in terms of the impact that this has on the New Orleans Saints, the honest answer here is that the Saints are still very deep at both of those positions, wide receiver and safety, and should still be in a good situation going into the 2022 season, provided that there's no bigger complications that come about from maybe, you know, players with more established roles and things like that. Both of these guys were guys that were fighting for roster spots or the practice squad, right? So it's not the end of the world. for the New Orleans Saints, but certainly stinks to see, especially in Smoke Monday's case with it being injury related. We were there today, didn't even see the injury take place, didn't see him get carted off, helped off, anything like that. Now, we were indoors, inside, so sometimes like sight lines and things like that are a little bit tougher in terms of, you know, partial blockage and things like that from cameras as well as other players and things like that. You're kind of watching from an angle as opposed to watching right down the middle of the field. And so, you know, you end up missing things like that, but still a very, very unfortunate situation for the young safety out of Auburn. Hope him a speedy recovery. Hopefully not a big recovery, right? Again, still need to see how all of this goes for him, but that could end up being what makes the roster spot for the earlier signing of tight end Chris Herndon, formerly of the New York Jets, Minnesota Vikings in 2021, most recently. And so, you know, that could end up, if he goes to injured reserve, make that roster spot for Chris Herndon, who should get a little bit of, you know, action pretty quickly, considering Taysom Hill is still sidelined and, you know, Juwan Johnson is still working his way back, though he seemed to be full participation on Tuesday. So unfortunate situations in both accounts, but both of those positions so deep, the New Orleans Saints should be okay going into the 2022 season. Next up, we're going to get to your questions from our live show earlier today, including the offensive line development, how Doug Marrone has been a factor, and how the New Orleans Saints offensive line and defensive line have looked so far. We're going to break all of that down as we continue on to wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints, which is brought to you, of course, in part by our friends over at Bet Online, our exclusive online betting partners and your number one source for all sports wagering needs, like sports wagering information, articles, podcasts, everything that you're looking for, as well as, of course, more odds, lines, and props than ever before. You can find all of it over at Bet Online, including win totals, game spreads, player props, all of that. You can even bet on next year's first overall selection if you want to. So if you're a big, Will Anderson guy, for instance, you can go and put some down on him. I think he's 6-1 plus 600 there. So real opportunity there if you really, really like a guy like Will Anderson out of Alabama or any of the other players that maybe aren't your CJ Shrouds and Bryce Youngs, for instance. So you can go and check out all of that on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, so you can keep up with all of the sports trends and actions over at BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with your questions from our live show earlier on today. Remember, we're doing live shows in the afternoon, pre-recorded shows in the evening. Make sure you get all the information that you need in a couple of episodes a day here at Locked On Saints. So thanks so much again for making us your first, second, third, fifth listen of the day here on the show. So let's start off with Grain Train. Fantastic, fantastic YouTube handle. How has the New Orleans Saints offensive line been against the defensive line? Have they been good? I will say that the starting offensive line has looked really good. The second string offensive line has been shaky, and the third string offensive line has had a lot of trouble holding up. That's the way that I would break it down. But that's okay, right? Like you're okay there. Like by the time that you start getting to guys like Gerald Hawkins starting at left tackle, you're already kind of in a situation where you've dealt with a few injuries on the offensive line, multiple injuries on the offensive line before you ever get to that part. Now, based on what we learned last year, that's not impossible for sure. But at this point, that's not necessarily what you're expecting, right? You're hoping that 58 starters in the regular season is a one-year thing, not a multi-year situation, especially with the addition of Matt Rea as the director of sports science. That's been helping a ton in terms of preventing soft tissue injuries, limiting those injuries, things like that. That's the way that I would break it down. I will say that Ramczyk has looked really good in place of him every now and then. Landon Turner, number 67, draft pick from a few years ago out of Kentucky, or from last year out of Kentucky. He has looked really good in his reps as well. Very steady. I think he might be, if James Hurst starts at left tackle, for instance, I think maybe Landon Turner becomes that sixth offensive lineman that the New Orleans Saints have kind of made famous in terms of the jumbo tight end sets and the heavy, you know, big heavy sets and things like that. So I think Landon Turner has played himself into a key role in 2022, especially if James Hurst gets to start at left tackle. Trevor Penning, as we mentioned before, you know, he's had his ups and downs. He's going to have growing pains as a rookie that's, you know, just had his second real practice in terms of padded practices on Tuesday. So not a big deal to see him having some struggles. But when James Hurst is in there, he looks pretty steady. Eric McCoy has always looked good. Andres Pete has had a couple of moments where he's kind of not really found anyone to block on certain plays. That could just be the efficiency of the offensive line around him when he's pulling and things like that. Maybe it's just a play call thing over on the defensive side. But, you know, when he does make contact with people, he's doing very well. And Cesar Ruiz, we've seen some improvement from. But I want to break down Cesar Ruiz a little bit differently here, because it was a question from Molly Bauer, who asked, how has Cesar Ruiz looked and how did he specifically look today? I saw Kentavious Street give him a shout out during his presser. Yes, Kentavious Street did give him a shout out during his presser because Cesar Ruiz looked really good, specifically in one-on-ones. And that's a really good place to stand out. That's not a situation kind of like one-on-ones when it comes to receivers and DBs that's heavily weighted toward the offensive side. One-on-ones, when it comes to the trenches, are usually pretty evenly matched. If they are outmatched at all, it's usually in the favor of the defensive line as opposed to the offensive line. So Cesar Ruiz holding really, really well, not holding, right, but holding himself really, really well throughout one-on-ones is a really positive outlook for him. And he's looked pretty good in terms of the full team drills and everything as well over the course of the past couple of days. We've really gotten to see some growth from him now that we're into padded practices and all that. Now we just have to see if it's consistent and if it can remain. But so far, Doug Marrone has clearly had a positive impact on Cesar Ruiz. He spoke with us today during his presser and one of the things, or during his post-practice presser. And one of the things that he talked about was how much actually Jari Evans is also helpful for him. Remember, the former New Orleans Saints Hall of Famer is now working with the New Orleans Saints as a coaching intern. And he has been somebody that has worked closely with Cesar Ruiz, having played on the interior before, and sort of working on him specifically with his hands, hand placement, timing, shooting his hands, when to hold them, all of these things. Jari Evans, with one of the biggest flexes of all time not too long ago, spoke about how he went up against Aaron Donald and how he worked well against him and how he matched up against him. And the interesting thing was that it wasn't about overpowering him. It wasn't about getting his hands on him before he could do anything. It was actually about holding his hands and relying on his reputation. Jari Evans had a reputation that said, if he gets his hands on you, you're done. So what he would do is that he would hold his hands as opposed to shooting his hands out and engaging with Aaron Donald, where Donald could potentially, you know, use some type of pass rush move, swipe him away or swim under, or do, you know, some kind of a rip, like all these things that Aaron Donald, who's one of the greatest pass rushers, best NFL player right now in the NFL, can do. And instead, what did Jari Evans do? He held. He held his hands back and he waited and didn't engage because he made it Aaron Donald's responsibility to come across the line of scrimmage. If Aaron Donald came across the line of scrimmage, then Jari would put hands on him. But because of the threat of Jari Evans' hands, Aaron Donald never crossed the line of scrimmage. What a flex. So now you're trying to transplant that type of attitude, confidence, understanding of your skill set, and of course, development of that same skill set, upper body strength. If I get my hands on you, you're not getting past me, Jari Evans. You're worried about upper body strength for Cesar Ruiz. This is the type of, these are the types of things that you have to work on. So you can already see where Jari Evans is having a direct impact on Cesar Ruiz throughout training camp. And we'll wrap up now with the Youngblood 46. Ross Kirk-Merritt has made some plays since camp started. What do you think of his chances of maybe becoming the Saints' fifth or sixth receiver? So I love this conversation because the wide receiver, how many wide receivers are the Saints going to keep is such a big question for me right now. Are they going to keep five or are they going to keep six? Where do they find that sixth spot on the roster? Is that something that comes with only keeping five linebackers as opposed to six linebackers? Is that something that comes with having Adam Prentice on the roster, keeping the fullback alive, or not having the fullback in the offense anymore, or utilizing tight ends in the backfield, sort of like an H-back situation to replace that so that you don't have to have that roster spot? Do the Saints only keep two quarterbacks, cut Ian Book, and then try to get him back on the practice squad as an emergency quarterback for a later time? There are a lot of ways the New Orleans Saints can, if they wanted to, make an extra roster spot to keep an additional wide receiver. So when it comes to Kirk-Merritt, who has continuously made plays throughout camp, Dejon Dixon, who has a lot of the qualities that the New Orleans Saints like, Aesop Winston, who's another person that can be a field stretcher for you, that could be another special teams asset for you, and that has a good connection with Jameis Winston, there are players out there, and of course, Tre'Quan Smith, there are players out there who could leave the Saints no choice but to keep a six wide receiver, and Kirk-Merritt is certainly one of them. Now, he's going to have to be consistent. He's going to have to continue to show more of what he has shown a little bit of so far throughout camp. That's not to diminish what he has shown. It's just that we've only got six practices so far, right? Like, he can only do so much during that time, and only two of them have been padded. So that's all that I mean. But if he's able to show the exciting things that we've seen from him so far on a consistent basis throughout camp in the preseason, he might, along with guys like Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Deontay Hardy, Marquez Callaway, leave the Saints no choice but to keep him on the roster. So certainly wouldn't close the door on any opportunities for the Destrehan native to continue his time here in the state of Louisiana. All right, y'all, coming up tomorrow, we'll start off with our live episode. Of course, right after camp sometime. We'll start sometime between 1 and 3 p.m. It just kind of depends upon central time. Just kind of depends upon when the pressers wrap up, how many pieces I have to write afterwards, all of those things. But, you know, we've been going live pretty steadily between those couple of hours. So just keep an eye out on the YouTube page and you'll know as soon as we are about to or as soon as we do go live. I appreciate you as always for making me your first listen of the day here on Locked On Saints. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out that Locked On NFL podcast. Tony and James bringing you everything you need to know around the NFL in less than 30 minutes, available wherever you're listening to this podcast and, of course, on YouTube as well. I appreciate you as always making me a part of your day, a part of your routine. If you see me, say hi. I'll see you tomorrow. But for everything you need in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.